right, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Job chapter 3. And it's great to see you. There are outlines available, and Doc has them, and we're glad you're here. If you're a guest with us, I'm Pastor Mike, and we're honored to have you. We hope you'll come back and be with us as often as you can. Tonight, and I'm going to ask you to do this each week, you can read along as you have time. But tonight, the life lesson that we'll be looking at is this. We want to understand, we want to come to have a better understanding of people in their suffering and despair. And I've used this word, understanding, on purpose. Because we come to Job chapter 3, and if you had a chance to read it beforehand, it is truly, I know this is the Word of God, and one of the reasons why I know is because only God would allow chapters like Job chapter 3 to be in the Bible. If this was a made-up book, a whimsical book of just collections of thoughts and ideas, nobody would write the story like this. So we come tonight to the first words of Job after he had sat in silence for 7 days. We've got a lot to learn here tonight and in the days ahead about understanding suffering and despair. Someone gave me a hard time this week and said, you know, you're preaching on joy on Sunday mornings and then you're bringing everybody to the depths of despair on Wednesday night. No, actually, that's not true. Actually, if you really come to understand the book of Job, you'll have joy. You'll understand joy. And so all of God's Word matters. Not just the parts we like. All of it matters. So I want to begin by reminding us. Someone said to me the other day, well, you know, they were talking about all this emotion of Job and all these things about how Job responded, and you know, their comment was, well, you know, I told my wife, why, when we suffer, I don't feel like that. Well, I appreciated that comment, but let me go back and remind us now. Chapter 1, verse number 13. Now, on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. The Sabaeans attacked and took them. Okay, now, in this man's world, that's his property, his possessions, and his wealth. The oxen are gone. They've been stolen. And the donkeys, they're gone. Some of you have herds in here, and you have donkeys, and you have cattle. They slew the servants. There's another loss. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped. Sheep and servants, more of his possessions. While he was still speaking, another came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 bands and made a raid on the camels. It's an enormously important animal in Job's day. And took them, slew the servants, and I alone have escaped. And while he was still speaking, another came. Oh, surely not what we're about to read. Job's 10 children. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. I alone have escaped to tell you. So we learn tonight this first lesson about understanding suffering and pain. Don't measure one person's suffering against your suffering. That's not the place you start. This man lost all of his possessions. He lost everything that had any kind of monetary value. He lost all of his workers, except for these few that came back. And then we go over and read in chapter 2, 7, then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. Not just boils, sore boils. Sore boils. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting in the ashes. So, we learn a lot from suffering and from those who suffer. And those of us who've not suffered as much as others, we don't always appreciate this. Did you know the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. It's better. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feeding. Be cautious when you compare your suffering to any other person's, and be cautious when you read the book of Job that you don't come away with it not recognizing the full impact. Here's a man who lost everything, only having his reputation and his integrity that God spoke of, and he lost his health. That's a devastating season of suffering. So I want to give us some words here before we go through the outline, because I think this is important. You know, we have committed to be a church being available and helpful and accessible and touchable to people all around us, and we seek to be Jesus to them. And so what we're going to learn in the weeks ahead is we're going to learn how to not only understand suffering, but the right way to minister and care to people who are in suffering. That includes all of us. When we suffer, how do we help each other? And when others suffer around us, what do we do? The second thing, besides not comparing suffering to suffering, see, all suffering is an individual matter, and we must be reminded that it's an individual matter. The second thing is, we don't like to talk about suffering in America. We have commercials, and you see everybody, and they're all so happy. Why, nothing's wrong in the commercial. Everything's beautiful. Everything's wonderful. Everybody has a new car. Everybody's house is just, their kids are just perfectly combed, and it's just all perfect. It's a perfect world of happiness. And everybody has everything they need and all the less. We don't like suffering. Americans especially don't like suffering. Some of you don't even like me talking about suffering. And we certainly don't like despair or the word despair. We also must be careful. So here's my point about that. We're going to tonight spend our whole evening looking at 26 verses of absolute despair, darkness, suffering, despair. So we have to be cautious in comparing suffering with suffering. Every suffering person suffers, and it's real, and it's affecting them personally. We don't like suffering. We don't like to think about suffering. We think that if we'll do certain things, we'll escape suffering. It's the human condition. Suffering's going to happen and is happening. The third thing I want to say to you as we start is, don't be like Job's friends, which you'll find out about in a minute, in the days ahead. You know what they really did? They judged a man who was suffering. That's what they did. Started out right, we're going to see it in a minute. But it came to the fact that as they listened to Job and as they evaluated there, they came to judge him in his suffering. Don't judge people when they suffer. This is a notorious problem with the church. Why? Something must have happened. Their kids wouldn't be like that unless, wait a minute now, be careful. They wouldn't have lost that job, but unless, wait a minute, who made you judge over another person? To judge their experience and their life. Don't be a judge of other people's suffering. No, what we're going to do tonight is for the next 30 minutes, we're going to sit in one of the most uncomfortable places you will ever sit. We're going to sit with a man in despair. How we need to understand a man in despair. So some of us have already said, Job, what's the deal with Job? I mean, come on. He should have gotten over it. I often hear people say this. Well-meaning to people who are in suffering. Well, they ought to be over it by now. Who said that you should say such a thing? They should be over it. Who put you in charge of that? Well, you know, people just need to, it's America. Everything's going to happen. Just pull up your, just get strong. Just gut it out. Be a man. Be strong. We're going to find that under the sun in the world of suffering, there's a whole lot of opinions about why people suffer. As you all say back here, we're fixing to go into a long section of friends talking to Job and Job talking with them. Now last week we polled how many of you have read the book of Job, so for some of you this is the first time, and I'm glad. For those in here who are more knowledgeable, their problem's going to be they're going to run through it and going to go to the end. What I'm going to say to all my friends here who've read your Bible lots of times, tonight, we're just going to read chapter 3. And I hope you feel it like it's the first time you've ever read it. Because tonight we sit with a man who is in deep despair. Before we get to chapter 3, let's read beginning in verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity, the word adversity, the Hebrew word for adversity, is the word that means distress. When they heard of all this distress that had come upon him, they came each one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him. Remember, these were friends who knew Job. They raised their voices and wept, and each of them tore his robe, and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights with no one speaking a word to him. For they saw that his pain was very great. They saw that his pain was very great. So I love the poem that says, friendship is a sheltering tree. That's very good. That's very good. Friendship is a sheltering tree. So to learn to be a friend and of your friends in suffering, we start on the right foot with Job's friends. They were a sheltering tree. They were a powerful source of comfort for those in despair. Notice what they did. They heard about his distress, and they came, and they did two things in verse 11. In verse 11, they came to sympathize with him, to come alongside him, and they came to comfort him. So these friends hear about their friend who's in distress. Do you have a friend in distress? I promise you this, you've got a friend in distress, or you work with somebody in distress, or you're sitting next to somebody in distress. It's the universal issue in the world. There's nowhere you're going to get on a plane and travel where they don't have distress. Did you know people who live on the beach have stress and distress? Yeah. People who live in Alaska. I know people say, I just want to go live in Alaska. Why? To get away from everybody. But there's distressed people up there. In the Antarctic, in Tahiti, in wherever, pick your place. The beautiful mountains of the Rocky Mountains, distressed people. They need somebody to sympathize and comfort them. They wept for Job's condition. They mourned with Job. We know that this ancient custom of tearing the robe, throwing dust over the head, and many times shaving the head of males, shaving their heads, is a sign of deep mourning. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. You learn a lot more at a funeral than you do at a wedding. You learn a lot more at a funeral. And so his friends came and they sympathized with him. They were in shock when they saw him. And they did what friends should do. They understood. They started out right. They sat silently. They sat silently. The best thing you can do sometimes for those that are your friends who are suffering is just sit with them. Don't have to say anything. Help them. Do something for them. Go with them somewhere. That's why I put these verses here for you. Remember, this is our responsibility as we're together. Weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. Weep with those who weep. Hebrews 12:12 says, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. It's not just talking about old age. It's talking about suffering. When people suffer long enough, their hands get weak, their knees are feeble. Suffering. And the good news is that we live on this side of the cross. Now remember, we're reading the Old Testament. We're reading before Jesus came, before the cross, before the resurrection, before his ascension, before all of those events came and the Lord Jesus came. This is the Old Testament. And so God's Word, God reveals more and more of himself through his Word as you read through the Bible. So we're in this section of the Bible that teaches us God's wisdom. And so we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. Listen, have you talked to Jesus today? He understands what you're going through. He does. One of our men was talking to me today, had a death in their family, and he said, I just had to talk to the Lord about it. I said, you talk to the Lord about it. He knows. He knows. Nobody else might know, but the Lord knows. So as we understand suffering and despair, and now we prepare ourselves to read these verses, I wanted to start by reminding us of the powerful source of comfort for those in despair. Look, I love all of you in Jesus. I'm going to give you a pastoral tip, all right? I've been doing this a long time. Will you let me and you won't get mad at me? Nod your head. You're not going to get mad, okay? I don't mean anybody by name here. But when we go see people who are in suffering, it's better to say less than more. But sometimes we get nervous. And you know what happens to some of us when we get nervous? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do put, just stop. 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 It's better to say less than more. No one needs a sermon when they're sitting on the ash pile. Nobody needs a sermon. So we think about tonight learning how to come alongside and to truly comfort those who suffer and are in despair. Now, I must make a change. Chapter 3 to chapter 42 now changes to poetry. Some of you are new in your Bible, and don't panic. But the Bible is, this is poetry now. So we love reading chapter 1 and 2 because it's what we call narrative. It's the story. We can read it and it's a story. Now all of a sudden, you start reading this and thinking, whoa, wait a minute, these words and these comparisons and these expressions are, what in the world happened? Well, we now enter into sacred poetry. You see, in your Bible, those of you who know your Bible well, some of you are brand new, well, this part, see, the book of Job, the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Song of Solomon are put in the section of the Bible called the wisdom books. And these books were placed here as the Bible was put together by ancient Israel, because these books help us understand God's wisdom. And this book is filled with wisdom about why God allows suffering and how you walk through suffering. And how you deal with suffering. So you're now entering into the poetic part of this book. And I will just tell you this. We're reading this. Remember, you have an English translation of the Bible. So the Bible was written, this Old Testament part of the Bible was written in the Hebrew language. And all of you who have taken any languages know sometimes you can't perfectly translate from one language to another. So there are challenges sometimes when you read this. So I just want you to remember, when you're frustrated, read it a few times. This is God's poetry. This is God's poetry. And it's beautiful. Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said a boy is conceived." Now you'll follow this pattern. Notice the rhythm of it in the poetic part. May that day be darkness. Let not God above care for it, nor let light shine on it. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. Let a cloud settle on it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year, and let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful shout enter it. Let those cursed who curse the day, who are prepared to rouse Leviathan. Let the stars of its twilight be darkened. Let it wait for light, but have none. And let it not see the breaking dawn. Because it did not shut the opening of my mother's womb, or hide trouble from my eyes. Second section. Why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, and why the breast that I should suck? For now I would have faint. I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept then. I would have been at rest with kings and with counselors of the earth who rebuilt ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who were filling their houses with silver. Or like a miscarriage which is discarded, I would not be as infants that never saw light. There the wicked cease from raging, and there the weary are at rest. The prisoners are at ease together. They do not hear the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. final section. Why is light given to him who suffers, and life to the bitter of soul, who long for death but there is none, and dig for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice greatly and exult when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged in? For my groaning comes at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I am not at rest, but turmoil comes. And I would recommend you read this, your reading, if you can, and it's able when you're reading along with me on the week by week. Read it aloud somewhere. It will make more sense to you. You'll hear it differently than if you read it quietly. Or if you have an apparatus, play it on your player that plays the Bible. You need to hear it spoken out loud. So tonight I want us to look at six characteristics of those who are in deep despair. Now the first thing we generally do when we hear people talk like this is, you know what we do? Shh, no, don't say that. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that, Job. Job, why are you talking like that? I want to remind us, first of all, that those who suffer in despair think life is a curse. There are people who woke up this morning and hate the fact that they're born and they're alive. Oh, Pastor Mike, come on. Friend, come out of your hiding place. I'm telling you the truth. Millions upon millions hate their life. Notice what we've been studying. Satan came before God, chapter 1, verse 11, and chapter 2, verse 5. Put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Chapter 2, verse 5. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Satan's purpose was for righteous Job to curse God, because God had his hand of protection on him. But we read in chapter 2, verse number 10, I put 5, but it should be 2:10, if you're taking your note sheet there. He says to his wife, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity in all this?" Excuse me, Job did not sin with his lips. Chapter 1, verse 22, through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. And this word, we remind ourselves of blame, is to point to God with an unseemliness, as if God's behavior was despicable and he's trying to do something to trick us or to treat us badly. We read these same words in Jeremiah chapter 20. So we're not alone in this. And these are horrifying words from Jeremiah. And I want to just quickly read them to you. If you turn over there fast, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 14. Jeremiah's complaint, "Cursed be the day when I was born. Let the day not be blessed when my mother bore me. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying, 'A baby boy has been born to you,' and made him very happy. But let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew without relenting, and let him bear an outcry in the morning, a shout of alarm at noon, because he did not kill me before birth, so that my mother would have been my grave and her womb ever pregnant. Why did I ever come forth from the womb? To look on trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame. You see, the Bible teaches us how to mourn. Holy Jeremiah, the prophet, despairing over God's, what he had to see. He had to see the judgment of God on Israel, who would never listen to the warnings of God, and in their hard-heartedness chose to live their own ways until Babylon's soldiers, horses, and all their armies rattled and roared into Jerusalem, and it was gone. And he said, I wish I'd never been born because of what I've had to see. And Job says, he didn't curse God, he cursed his birthday. Now, on a birthday, you celebrate. You're not sad on a birthday, you rejoice. But he cursed God. He cursed the day that he was made. He did not curse God, he cursed his birthday. Those that are in despair, by the way, say things because the emotions are deep. Look, I want you to remember, emotional words, words of despair, are heart words. They're not head words. And people will say things that are so extreme and emotional in their despair. But we always hurry to quiet people when they're speaking of how they really feel in their suffering. There's value to speaking out loud when you suffer. And sometimes a friend comes by and you know what? You don't say a word. Just let them talk. Just let them speak. Just let them say what they need to say. Just, you're there. So Job, in the presence of these three friends, after 7 days and seven nights of saying nothing, he opened his mouth and cursed his birthday. He did not curse God. He cursed his birthday. Those suffering in despair think it would be better not to be born. We just read it. This picture of darkness and light, this poetry of dark and light, it's the picture of darkness associated with non-existence versus, before you're born, non-existence versus light being equivalent to life. He uses light to describe life. So you can use those words and it helps you a little bit to understand. May that day be darkness. May I just go back to nothingness, non-existence. May no light shine on my birthday. No life, no light, no life. Let the darkness and black gloom claim it. Let the twilight stars be darkened. Now we're sitting with a man suffering deep despair. We're not hurrying to get out of it. We're not leaving our sandwiches and leaving. Are you listening to me? We're not sending him a card and moving along. No. We're sitting and listening to every bit of it. Every last word. We're sitting with this man who's cursed his birthday, who thinks it would have been better not to be born, who in the next place wishes that he could avoid the pains of life. Now notice the conclusion of the first, each of these have a little conclusion in them. You have to catch it very carefully in your reading. In chapter 3, we see this. He curses his birthday and then says, I wish the darkness, I would still be in non-reality, non-existence, excuse me, because I didn't want to come out of the womb and see trouble. I could have hid from trouble. Trouble from my eyes. Now Job speaks what he sees. He sees the complete devastation and loss of everything that he has. He sees the trouble of life. If he'd never been born, he would never see the trouble. Oh, but there's trouble everywhere. There's trouble all over the United States of America and around the world. There's always been trouble. Don't let the noise box trick you. Read your history. Read your Bible. Trouble, trouble everywhere. It's the condition of man to be in trouble. That's why the Lord Jesus came. Amen? He came to the trouble. He entered into the trouble. He came into the trouble. But when you suffer in despair, sometimes you can't bear to see the pain of the trouble of life. That's why I gave you Psalm 25:17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look, we're going to see that suffering on the outside drives deep pain on the inside. See, now Job is speaking of the inside. All these outside troubles came upon him. But now, he talks about how he's feeling on the inside. He's cursed the day that he was born. In fact, those suffering in despair wish not only to avoid life's troubles, but they desire to rest and have relief from their troubles. This is the idea Job has in the second section. He just wishes he'd never been born. What's the point of birth? The question is asked in verse 11, why did I not die at birth and come forth from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me? The idea of the knees receiving is an ancient way of describing how the father would set a child on his knees and name a child. This is this phrase. For now I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept then and I would have been at rest. Obviously, we know far more about death and dying from the New Testament and all that we've learned about death. But for Job and for this period of time, it was the ceasing of all the pain. Death was rest. It was the place where all were equal. It was that place of death. Tonight, we're not doing theology. Tonight, we're sitting with a man who says, I'd rather be dead and be at rest. That's what he said. Because the pain is so deep in his life, his desire is to not have any more life, but to not to have been born to experience any of these things. And then he says in verse 20, why is light given to him who suffers and life to the bitter of soul? If I was going to take, and we were going to take the chapter and wrap it around one verse, I think that this would be, you know, we sometimes used to talk about, and we studied the book of Psalms, I call it a hinge verse. Generally in the Old Testament, in these wisdom books, you'll find a verse that is somewhat of a link or a hinge to the whole of the chapter. This is verse 20 would be where I would find us to go here. And in the brief time I have, suffering and despair questions God's dealings. Why? Why? Oh, the preachers say, don't ask why. And the kids say, why not? And the kids driving in the car say, why do the birds fly? I have no idea. God made them that way. Why do snakes crawl? I do not know. Why is the sky blue? There's a scientific, you get the idea. Why? It's the questioning. It's questioning God's dealings with him. Notice in verse number 20, why is light given? The point of it is, why is life given to somebody who suffers and life to the bitter soul? In the depths of his bitterness, he asks why. He asks also, why is light given to a man, verse 23, whose way is hidden. In other words, it's a mystery. I believe God, I trust God, but why are all these things happening in my life? They're hidden from me. I don't understand them. And whom God has hedged in. Not a hedgerow of, not a nice hedgerow of apples, but a hedge of thorns is the idea. I'm blocked. I'm hemmed in by God. This is how someone in despair feels. There's nowhere to go. The way is hidden. I don't know what I should do. Oh, Lamentations 3, 1 to 18. Look, I'm going to read it fast, but because you have to hear it while we're in the middle of sitting with a man in despair. So once Israel was gone into captivity, Jeremiah writes, I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness, not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand. Repeatedly all the day he has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell like those who have been long dead. And he goes on. He made the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Psalm 10:1, why do you stand afar off? The psalmist asked God. A true statement of despair. Why? Why are you standing afar off? Don't you see I'm in the middle of this? Where are you? Why have you forgotten me? Oh, and the words of the Lord Jesus, who was fully human on the cross, speaking in Aramaic, his mother tongue, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you hide your face? Psalm 44:24. You see, this is the mystery and the wisdom of God. By the way, God hears everything Job's saying. He didn't send an angel to whip him. He didn't send any more pain on him. Job now speaks in despair. Job says, I am not at ease. I am not at rest. I am not quiet. I'm in turmoil. And the equal sign beside, I'm trying to give you an idea. The Hebrew word means, I'm not at ease. I'm not quiet. I'm not at rest. I'm not settled down. I'm in turmoil. I'm raging. Job 14:1, man was born of woman, is short-lived and full of turmoil. So tonight we sat with a man and listened to him talk about despair. Well, I want you to know this as we conclude. We live in the day of the gospel. We live in the day of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and of trusting and following Him. And I'm going to read you this, and this will be the way we close tonight. And I would ask you to go ahead and read next week if you can bear to come back. Oh, that was meant to be a joke, but apparently you're all in despair now. Okay, fine, whatever. You need to read on into chapter 4 and 5, and we'll look at Job's first friend. But tonight, here's the good news. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and are you listening? The God of all comfort. Is that not good news? Who comforts us, listen, in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I get comforted so I can comfort you. You get comforted by God so you can comfort me. Now, I want to be around people like that, don't you? I don't need a sermon. I give enough of them. I just want to be comforted. so do you. And isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus said, I will send you the who? And he shall be in you. Not only do you gain comfort from your brothers and sisters in Christ who are comforted by God, the Comforter lives in you. So may this week you remember there are people today who got up and said, I wish I'd never been born. I curse the day of my birth. I don't want to have any more birthdays. I hate being alive. Remember, they speak from deep despair and trouble. So may we be helpful to them and tell them about Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying that we might have hope and life. And so now we commit these words to you. We pray that you might help us to understand and bear the burdens of others and love one another and help our friends who are suffering. We thank you, Lord, for these words that teach us to understand suffering and despair, the depths of it. Forgive us when we've dismissed it. Forgive us when we've told others, just people, to get over it. Help us to really understand suffering and despair. To the glory and honor of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hope to see you Sunday. Say hello to somebody.